Well, please open your Bibles with me to the Old Testament. Please find Psalm 128. Psalm 128, and this evening we'll take in verses 1 through 6. Psalm 128 and verses 1 to 6. And as we come to our next instalment in this series, when might someone say they've been blessed? Perhaps that person has been promoted. Maybe it was that wonderful cruise around the Mediterranean coastline. That it could be that forever house that we've moved to. Or what about those nines at GCSE level? Or that first class degree at university? That meeting with the doctor who said, all clear. That cup final with those good friends. Yes, these things, and more besides, these things are truly considered to be moments of great blessing. And yet, drop the mic. When we compare the modern with the old, when we look carefully at Psalm 128, well, the blessings mentioned here, the blessings mentioned by our songwriter, seem in many ways to be so ordinary. And yet in God's old covenant, food and family are anything but ordinary. They are essential to the longevity of God's people in the nation of Israel. Getting into this old covenant reality a little bit more, when Moses read the law to Israel just before she entered the land of Canaan, Deuteronomy chapter 28 informs us that if Israel faithfully follows her Saviour's commands and laws, then the material blessings of the living Lord God shall, quote, overtake his chosen people, the apple of his eye. If Israel obeys the covenant law God, then, quote, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And as we consider the Lord's comprehensive promises to his covenant people, blessings that cover every aspect of life in the nation of Israel. So hopefully the big promises that we find in Psalm 128 begin to make a little bit more sense to us. In the context of the old covenant, if the Lord's people are faithful to him, then the windows of heaven will open wide. It's just as we have been reading. The family will be blessed. The land will be blessed. Flocks and herds will be blessed. I will watch over you, declares the Lord wonderfully. I will check you out as you depart and go on your way. I will watch over you as you come in. The windows of heaven will open wide, and divine blessings will shower the nation, will bathe the nation. Conversely, and it is worth mentioning here, if Israel is unfaithful to her God and her Saviour, then his curses will overtake the nation. And as a short aside, Scripture shows us how the latter promise was fulfilled many times over amongst the people of God. Now, having said all of that, does this mean that we can begin to work out a date or an occasion for Psalm 128? Well, while some do like to try and pin a date to every psalm that we find given to us in Scripture, the psalms don't always reveal the occasion that prompted their composition. We know, don't we, that it is a song of ascent. We know the Jews sang this song as they made their way up to Jerusalem for the feasts ordained by the Lord. We know, don't we, at verse 5, that prayer for divine blessing on God's chosen city. We note that detail, but much more than that, well, we can't really say. Instead, as we continue to explore what this song meant to the first audience, let's notice, please, at verse 1, the Lord's generosity to his chosen people. The Lord's generosity to his chosen people. Verse 1, with me, please. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. So, opening verse 1 a little bit, where the writer speaks about being blessed. I'm told that in this context, the root word for blessed gets us thinking about being level, being right, being happy. And as the writer goes on, he then tightens his teaching point. He says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Developing this, everyone and anyone may be level, right, and happy. Everyone and anyone can make progress in life, may advance in life, if they, by faith, fear the Lord. If they, as we explore that statement, if they stand in awe of him and reverence him as he deserves and walk closely in accordance with his chosen ways, his pathway for life. Well, having started with the Lord's generosity to his covenant people, we move to verse 2. And as we do, the songwriter now describes a covenant blessing promised by the Lord to those who faithfully follow the Lord's ways. Look at verse 2 with me, please. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Now, while we cannot ignore the fact that following Adam's fall in sin, our work is cursed. So in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, the Lord says to Adam, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. Nevertheless, at Psalm 128, the writer seems to say to the Old Covenant community that for those who do take seriously the Lord and his commands and his laws, part of the earth's cursing is eased in some way. Let me read verse 2 again in the context of verse 1. For everyone by faith who uses the Lord's commands for life, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. And while the language may seem to us to be making promises beyond our full understanding, let's go back to Moses and the people of Israel on the edge of the promised land. And that bit in Deuteronomy chapter 28 in verses 12 to 14, where Moses says to his chosen people that for faithfulness, the Lord will, I love the language, the Lord will open to you his good treasury. What does that treasury look like? The heavens above your head, O nation of Israel, the heavens will give rain to your land in its season. Notice that detail. The way in which the Lord brings about those clouds in the sky, the way in which he causes the rain to fall, it will come at just the right time in your farming seasons, in your farming cycles. You will get water for your crops at just the right time if you are faithful to me. And you will know the blessing of all that work that you carry out with your hands. and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Notice how the living Lord God is elevating his people for faithfulness. And you shall only go up and not down if, and that's the important word, if you obey the commandments, plural, of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not, turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods and serve them. Be faithful to me, stick with me, obey my laws, follow my justice, love me with all your heart, put behind you those false foreign gods that do not see, hear, speak, or save. Be faithful to me, declares the Lord to Israel, and I'll be faithful to you in amazing ways. Well, so far in Psalm 128, everyone who reverences the Lord in that old covenant community, everyone who lives for him, the Lord is clear. They will know his amazing blessing. Those faithful ones in the covenant community of God, they shall eat the fruit of their labor. The living Lord God shall meet the needs of his people so that they might live for him and be his witnesses to one another and to the nations around them. And as we come to verses 3 to 4 now, our songwriter moves from things general, if you like, to something more specific. He focuses now on the family. And as he does this, so at verse 3, for a woman who has been able to find a man she loves and then marries, she will be, first part of verse 3, like a fruitful vine within your house. That is, she will instinctively and habitually manage the home really well. She will be productive and organized. She will be a blessing to her husband and to her neighbors. And if the Lord is pleased to open the wife's womb and enables her to conceive, and she goes to full term, then the godly husband and the godly wife will know the blessings mentioned in the second half of verse 3. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. A family scene of togetherness and unity and growth that led Bible commentator Frederick Brotherton Meyer to exclaim, what a charming cluster of images. The wife as a vine twining round the carved trellis work of the inner court of the home, whilst children as olive plants are sources of re-emerging joy. And then he asks, and I do like this question, would you have such a home? Its keystone is the fear of grieving the Spirit of God. And as we come to verse 4 now, Meyer's observation tallies with the songwriter's lyrics. Can we see this at verse 4? Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord, who reverences the Lord, who worships the Lord. That is, the man who is level, the man who is right-thinking, the man who is heavenly happy, the man who knows great progress at home is the man who fears grieving the Spirit of God. Well, having thought about a general blessing and then a specific blessing from the Lord, as we come to our final two verses for this evening, our writer now gives us a combination of the two. As we come to verses 5 through 6, we can hear the joy of the songwriter as he prays over those who are blessed by the old covenant promises of the Lord. At verses 5 through 6, the writer says, can you see it? The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And as we consider these two verses, I think it's a beautiful way for the songwriter to finish. What I mean is that the songwriter prays for three things: for those who are worshipping the Lord faithfully and using his rules for life to get on, to advance and to progress. First, at verse 5, the writer prays that for as long as they are alive, may they enjoy the Lord's covenant promises emanating from the city where he has graciously placed his name. And then in the first part of verse 6, the writer prays that these faithful ones have the joy of seeing grandchildren being born and raised. The point being that grandchildren are a way of alluding to long life and good health in the family. In ancient society, grandchildren were a source of tremendous happiness and hope. Grandchildren assured the family, especially if boys were being born, grandchildren assured the family that the line would continue into the next generation. And then third, at the end of verse 6, the writer prays that the faithful are blessed by God's peace. Said another way, oh, may the Lord's people, may his true people know by faith that glorious peace with God, that glorious peace won with each other, and that wonderful peace with those around them. Because when divine peace abounds in the community of God, well, so communities thrive. Heading towards our conclusion now, Psalm 128 speaks to the Old Covenant people about an overarching principle in their community, that when they faithfully worship the Lord, when they wholeheartedly live for him, when they trust him alone for the forgiveness of their sins, then they shall be blessed, they shall be level, they shall be right, they shall know how to advance and make progress in life, all being done before the Lord their Saviour. And they will know these divine blessings from above. Which is fine. And we understand the language of the passage as we've explained it to each other. But what about us? What about us this side of the cross? I mean, as we have gone through Psalm 128 and as we've shared its learning with each other, we reverence the Lord. Of course we do. We praise the Lord for his holy and infallible word. A word that is God-breathed, inspired by his Holy Spirit and profitable, we know, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and yes, for training us up in righteousness. Righteousness that honours our Saviour. However, as we think over the language of this psalm, as we meditate on Psalm 128, I think we need to say it as it is, in that some of us might be feeling, as we read through these verses, some of us might be feeling that these promises, well, they're beyond us. We just can't quite grasp the magnitude of what has been said here, especially those promises that focus on marriage and children. I mean, the reality is that some of us are not married at this time, and some of us might be unable to conceive. Meanwhile, others may feel that they're in danger as they become enthusiastic and vibrant as they consider the language of this psalm. Others might feel that they're in danger of embracing the prosperity gospel in some way, that when we honour the Lord, then, well, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 10 must follow, in that when we're good before the Lord, well, God just can't hold back. Our barns will be full and our wine vats, well, they'll not stop chuckling. And then there are others who are so broken by life, so burdened by besetting sins or lacking assurance for one reason or another, that when they read language like this, at best we can feel deflated, at worst we can feel like we want to give up on our faith altogether, because the life that seems to be required to receive these astonishing blessings seems to be unreachable, unattainable. And so this side of the cross how do we make sense of these astonishing promises that have been given to God's old covenant people? Well, this side of the cross, and for what it's worth, I think the only way we can begin to start to make sense of Psalm 128 is to view it through the life of Jesus and the new covenant, rather, that he establishes with the shedding of his precious blood. What I mean is that as that true man of God in Israel, only Jesus Christ truly knew at verse 1 that divine contentment and that faithful progress that comes from an unblemished life before the living Lord God. And it is because of Jesus' faithfulness and perfect obedience that Jesus will, verse 2 now, enjoy the labor of his hands. That is, one day in the future, Jesus will share with us what Revelation chapter 19, verse 9 calls the marriage supper of the Lamb. And as we consider the marriage supper that marks the joyous and eternal union between Christ the bridegroom and his bride, so verse 3, Christ's bride is in glory blessed to the maximum. And as bridegroom and bride enjoy together the blessings of God, so verses 5 through 6, well, they tell the end of the story. For all who are saved in Christ, the sons and daughters of the living God, shall see the eternal prosperity of his heavenly Jerusalem. For all who are by faith saved in Christ, there is a day coming when God the Saviour's unbridled shalom shall rest on his people forever. Amen.